This evening we're going to finish our study in the first letter to the Thessalonians. We're going to go ahead and read verses 19 through 28. And I would like to ask the brethren that if during the study there is anything that I just outright say that is incorrect, that you would please feel free to stand up and correct me on that. There are some things in this small passage which difference of thought or belief can come into play. So I'm just going to try to stay as close to the scripture as possible, and we'll hopefully see how it works out. If you want to contact me in a more private manner, feel free to email me on any of these things. And that would go for sisters as well in emailing me. All right, so let's go ahead and read verses 19 through 28. Quench not the spirit. Chapter 5, verses 19 through 28. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Quench not the spirit. To quench means simply to quench or extinguish, to suppress or stifle. Of course, the spirit here is the Holy Spirit of God. The word quench is used 8 times in the New Testament, and all except here are used in the literal sense of a fire being quenched, going out, or not being able to be quenched, like the fires of hell. Here it is used metaphorically of suppressing or stifling the power, work, and nature of the Holy Spirit of God. Aside from quenching or suppressing the Holy Spirit of God, the scriptures tell us we can also resist, lie to, test, grieve, rebel against, insult, and blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. While we may not understand everything there is to know about the power and work and nature of the Holy Spirit of God, we are warned over and over again in the Scriptures to be very, very careful about diminishing such. Back then, when this was written, this warning would have included the suppressing of the manifest and manifold spiritual gifts which were provided to various Christians for the revelation and the proving and the furtherance of God's word when it came into this world. Today, at the very least, this is a warning to us not to suppress the word of God, which has been given to us through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. It may also include a warning against putting down the possible helps from the Holy Spirit of God today, such as an indwelling or a sealing and our prayers. As followers of Christ and children of God, may we always pray to continue to come to a more full understanding of the Holy Spirit of God and to never be a part of quenching or suppressing his power, work, and nature. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, we are expressly warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God because we are sealed or have been marked as one of God's by him. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 20. Despise not prophesying. Despise means to cast out as nothing, to set at naught, to regard something as lacking any standing or value. Prophesyings are what is clarified beforehand. Prophecy, which involves divinely empowered forthtelling, or asserting the mind of God, or foretelling, prediction. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, we are taught that in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. This distinguished the work of the two as those who foretold God's word and those who forthtold God's word. When written, it seems there were those who were given a gift to discern between true prophecy and false. Today it is up to us to use God's fully revealed word to do the same. God's word should always be the main point of discerning God's word. We should never believe that God's word is useless, despising that which is the good news and way to life everlasting in heaven. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Prove means to try or test, to show something is acceptable, real, and approved. To put to the test, to reveal what is good and genuine. To approve by testing, and is done to demonstrate what is good, or passes the necessary test. It does not focus on disproving something, or showing it is bad. All things refers to each and every part of a totality. It means all in the sense of every part that applies. The emphasis of the total picture, then, is on one piece at a time when speaking of all things. To hold fast means to keep secure. Good means that which is attractively good, good that inspires and motivates others to embrace what is lovely and beautiful and praiseworthy. Well done so as to be winsome and appealing. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 1, we are warned not to believe out of hand everything we are taught. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Of course, these spirits here are prophets, those who would call themselves prophets. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 10, Paul prayed that the brethren may have discernment through love. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, we are warned to prove even ourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be of the faith, in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? And that word simply means those without judgment, or unable to judge. After proving all things, then, we are told to hold fast and keep secure those things that are right, good, inspiring, motivating, and true in God's word. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain means to have one thing by separating from or letting go of another. It includes what is gained by discarding something else. To have something because something else has been put far away. Appearance means the sight of something exposed or observable, especially its outward appearance of shape, It emphasizes what is physically seen before mentally or spiritually apprehended. Evil literally means pain-ridden, and emphasizing the inevitable agonies and misery that always go with what we call evil. The idea here is that in order to hold fast that which is good, we must let go of that which is obviously evil. It doesn't mean something that simply appears evil either. We know this because Jesus partook in things that appeared to be evil to the people of his day. The word appearance in the King James days actually meant the visible appearance, shape, and form of something. Indeed, we cannot both hold fast to good and evil at the same time. And this is a warning that we must throw away what is evil and replace it with what is good. And we can do this by proving all things. Verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace here means wholeness, when all essential parts are joined together. Peace, God's gift of wholeness. To sanctify means to regard as special or sacred, holy, set apart, to make holy, consecrate, sanctify, to dedicate, and separate. Holy here means fully layered, all levels present, describing someone reaching the end goal of entire sanctification. Spirit here is the spirit of man. It's the wind or breath, literally meaning. It's where we get our word pneumatic from. It's associated with movement, animation, power, and motivation. Soul, the other inner part of man, where we get our word psyche from. It's a person's distinct identity, their unique personhood, their individual personality. The soul is the direct aftermath of God breathing or blowing his gift of life into a person, making them an ensouled being. It's associated with character, emotion, and the conscience of a person. Body is the physical body, and it's also used figuratively in other places of the spiritual body of Christ. Preserve means to maintain, figuratively, to spiritually guard and watch, to keep intact. Blameless means without fault, not blameworthy, by omission or commission, hence above reproach because of moral purity. Coming, the coming of Christ, means coming, especially the arrival of the owner, who alone can deal with the situation. It's a technical term with reference to the visit of a king or some other official, a royal visit. Used in the East as a technical expression of the royal visit of a king or emperor, the word literally means the being beside of, thus the personal presence. The idea Paul is expressing here is a prayer that God would complete his work in them through complete sanctification and consecration. Spirit, soul, and body being kept intact and morally pure until Christ comes again to handle the all-important matter of the final judgment. Through God's peace, or his wholeness, we too can be whole and sacred to him as we abstain from evil. James 1 and 4 encourages us to be patient and not to rush things where God is concerned. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful implies loyalty to faith, literally fullness of faith, typically of believing the faith God imparts through His Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, Paul tells them much the same thing, focusing on God's faithfulness to His children. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must always remember that God's promises are true, and that we can trust Him in every aspect of our lives to know what is best for us. Verse 25, Paul says, "Brethren, pray for us." Pray means to exchange wishes, to pray, literally to interact with the Lord by switching human wishes or ideas for His wishes as He imparts faith. As Paul prayed for them, he also asks that they would pray for him and his company. Prayer is such an important part of a life of Christianity that one can wonder how one can live a life without prayer and still profess to have heaven in view. Verse 26, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Holy means different or unlike, an otherness. For the believer, this means the likeness of nature with the Lord, because different from the world. The fundamental core meaning is different. Thus, a temple in the first century was holy because it was different from other buildings. In the New Testament, it has the technical meaning different from the world. Because, like the Lord, it implies something set apart, and therefore different, distinguished, and distinct. A kiss is to show respect or affection between friends, people sharing a deep and common bond. Paul encourages this greeting in his letter to the Romans, in both his letters to the Corinthians. Peter also encourages this greeting in his first letter. This kiss or greeting is, of course, a holy one between Christians, one that is different. And it should prompt a spiritual, familial affection, and at the same time be completely different than what would be a kiss of intimacy. Verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Charge means to make someone swear, to adjure, to bind under the obligation of an oath. Paul intended his letters to be read to the entire congregation where they were sent. Reading from the scriptures was a common practice in the Old Testament, and it was encouraged by Jesus. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, we also find that the letters were to be read to other congregations also. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Finally, verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This was a common opening and closing to letters from Christians at that time period. Of course, this invokes God's grace and His unmerited favor on the readers. In a sense, Paul would pray that God's grace would be with them and strengthen them and comfort them. So, the letter to the Thessalonians, this first letter, was essentially Paul trying to encourage them and help them to understand how a Christian should live in anticipation of the Lord's return. In every chapter of this letter, there is a mention of the Lord's return. We can find practical instructions of holy and godly living through this letter. And we can have comfort during trials and tribulations, and also in the death of the saints. In fact, another name of the Holy Spirit is Comforter or Counselor. We ourselves can find solace in the help and comfort we have through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This ends our study on the first letter to the Thessalonians. At this time, if there is one who needs to come forward and avail themselves of becoming a Christian or praying for forgiveness of sins, then won't you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.